Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Friday, August 12th, 2022. I'm your host, Alexis Kenyon. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we talk with a councilwoman from Lakewood about regional efforts to change climate policy. Then we hear about an internship program for Native American students involved in conservation. After that, it's Sports Talk with Jimmy Searfoss and .org, our weekly look at local nonprofits. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News update, then it's Connections. As always, the phone lines will be open. At 9:30, we have 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon with the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead, but first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Kiara Damari.
Teachers, parents, and students gathered yesterday at Edgewater Elementary School to kick off a campaign to pass a Healthy School Meals for All ballot measures. The initiative is asking Colorado voters to fund free school lunches for all public school students, something that the federal government funded throughout the pandemic until the program expired June 30th. Sandra Kaschub, a school food and nutrition worker at the rally, says feeding kids is about investing in their future and in the community's future.
It's a values thing, and it's about who are we investing in? What are we doing with our taxpayer dollars? And it's not good. It's creating this almost kind of class kind of split between our student populations, and kids don't need that. You know, kids just need to go to school and learn and be supported. They don't need to bring all that weird politics into their education.
Wildlife advocates are suing the federal government for failing to reach a decision over a vulnerable gray wolf population across the northern U.S. Rocky Mountains. The final decision on whether or not to enforce protections of the rehabilitated gray wolves along the Rocky Mountains was due June 1st. The Colorado Sun wrote, "Wolves were exterminated across most of the U.S. by the 1930s under government-sponsored poisoning and trapping campaigns. They were reintroduced from Canada into the northern U.S. Rockies in the 1990s. However, since then, there's been a trend in Republican states where a higher percentage of wolves are being killed during hunting season. The protection that would have been put in place if the government had decided in favor would have implemented more restrictions on hunters. There has been no reported date of the lawsuit so far." The Colorado staple, Casa Bonita, is not only reopening, it's getting a makeover. The city of Lakewood attained the plans and permits for the restaurant's internal work and facelift. According to 9 News, Westward was the first media outlet to break the news that South Park creators Matt Stone and Trey Parker were buying the restaurant for $3.1 million. But these documents reveal the new owners are spending at least 4 times as much on renovations and upgrades. The two bought Casa Bonita on September 27th and have since retained the permits for renovations. The original restaurant has been around since 1974 and widely known amongst Coloradans. There's been no reported slated date for the reopening. The Boulder Rotary Club is looking for nominees for the 2022 Jim Swaybe Peace Award. According to the Daily Camera, a nominee has to live or work in Boulder County or for an organization based in Boulder County, make a significant contribution of building a culture of peace in the community or throughout the world, exemplify the life of Jim Swaybe and the Rotary's commitment to peace. The winner will have their name and their organization name inscribed in a plaque to be placed in a prominent position for the community to see, the Rotary said in a news release. The North Boulder Recreation Center pool won't reopen until August 22nd because the delivery of a necessary chemical has been delayed. To stay updated, check Boulder Parks and Rec online schedule. It's expected to be hot and sunny across the Front Range today, as there's supposed to be a high of 90 and a low of 62 in Boulder, a high of 95 and a low of 68 in Fort Collins, and in Denver, a high of 95 and a low of 68. Outside the Boulder studio, it's 64 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Kiara Damari.
You're listening to The Morning Magazine. I'm your host, Alexis Kenyon. The Denver metro area summertime air quality regularly ranks among the worst in the nation. The Regional Air Quality Control Council, the air quality planning agency for the Denver metropolitan area and the North Front Range corridor, adopted a new pollution plan late last week. But critics say the plan fails to meet basic requirements of the Federal Clean Air Act. joining me to talk about the new official air quality plan and recommendations for improving upon it is Lakewood City Councilwoman Jeslyn Sherezai. Councilwoman Sherezai, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
So to start, for context, why is air quality an issue for you as a member of local government in Lakewood?
Sure. So I was elected to Lakewood City Council in November, and I represent a part of Lakewood that has a big transit corridor. So that paired with the fact that I'm a mother and I've got kids with respiratory issues. I talked about this a lot on the campaign trail. And I think that the sort of summers that we've been experiencing for the last 3 years, being downgraded from serious to severe by the EPA, these are alarms should be going off for people. And I think we're not seeing reflection of the alarm that we should be in our elected officials. And that's why I sort of stepped into this space.
And you're also not the only local government official in the Front Range area critical of the new plan approved last week by the Regional Air Quality Control Council, or RAC. Can you give listeners some insight into the discussions and communications between cities and towns?
Sure. So there's a lot of us that share in this commitment and this work. And I think that we're starting to see a regional approach to this. If we all want to see improved air quality, our message is clear. We need to be doing better here. And so you saw this in the last few weeks with folks at the local level stepping up and testifying. And so I think we'll continue to see we're holding a higher standard than we have maybe in previous years. And this stuff matters.
So what do you want to see? What are the concrete measures you're hoping to see in the plan that didn't materialize?
I would like to see the Regional Air Quality Control Commission step up more, because what we've been doing isn't working. And for us to see a plan come forward that's just status quo is really alarming to me. I know that there's been a lot of discussion around how do we make these investments to reduce our air quality? And yet we continue to have conversations about expansion and highways. You know, if you build it, they will come. And I want us to have more clean vehicles on the road, but that's not going to solve it. We need to be investing in transit-based solutions that are going to encourage our community to look at how they move around differently, and they invest in moving from a car-centered culture.
I mean, it just seems like you're up against the oil and gas industry, who, you know, historically have been making a lot of money here. And people have had almost no success changing any of their plans about how the future should look. What do you think it will take to have your voice heard?
I think the conversation that we're having right now is important. I think showing that we demand higher standards in our community, that we demand clean air for our constituents, for our children, and just not relying on this expectation that there's going to be some sort of solution in the future. The work has to happen now. And I know you'll hear from oil and gas, well, we have the highest standards in the nation. All right, I still want better. If we moved from serious to severe, things aren't going right. So we need to ensure that we have clean air for our communities moving forward.
Suncor Refinery is a bit of an elephant in the room when it comes to air quality in the Denver metro area. Same for the CEMEX cement plant in Lyons. What power do local governments have alone or banded together to regulate emissions and pollution from these plants?
Yeah, so for me, there's strength in numbers, right? And these are regional solutions that are going to happen. So municipalities are starting to step up and work together. And we have to, like, there's a social contract that exists in our communities. We have to care for one another. And I think that Colorado is a great model for this across the nation. You know, there is a consideration that we have in our state for our communities, for our open spaces, for our quality of life. And this so much falls into that. You know, I understand that we can't control everything that affects our ozone. We have smoke coming in from fires in the West, but we have to do everything we can. And at the end of the day, feel that we push this to be considerate and careful of what is the needs for our community members. And I think that what we saw in the Regional Air Quality Commission coming out this week wasn't enough. You know, status quo is not going to get us there. We know that, and we're demanding that we do better in this. And so the sort of solutions that we had in the 1980s and the 1990s are not going to move us where we need to be. And we need to be thinking about how we plan for our communities differently, both in climate change, but also in climate resiliency. All of these things matter right now in ways that I don't think have been considered historically.
I've been speaking with Jeslyn Shahrazai of Lakewood City Council about the new air quality plan approved last week by the Regional Air Quality Control Council. Councilwoman Shahrazai, thank you for your time and for speaking with me.
Thank you so much, Alexis.
You're listening to The Morning Magazine. The Canyonlands Research Center in southeastern Utah is in its second year of offering a paid internship to Native American students interested in conservation. Justin Higginbottom with KZMU and Rocky Mountain Community Radio visited the students as they toured Dugout Ranch and learned about watershed health.
I'm walking through tall grass with six students of the NATURE program. That stands for Native American Tribes Upholding Restoration and Education. We're heading to the shady shores of Indian Creek to see how this bend has changed.
Cool. So yeah, here we are on Indian Creek. It's kind of hard to imagine what this looked like just even back in November, December, but it was a...
Jeff Adams is the founder of Terra Sophia. He works on things like erosion control and permaculture. Right now, he's showing the group a beaver dam analog, or BDA, that he installed last year. It's basically what it sounds like. Wooden poles and weaves of juniper meant to catch sediment.
3 feet, and what that's done is it held all that sediment here, and then that helps hold more moisture, but it's also allowing the creek to have better connectivity to the floodplain. And so
the BDAs here prevented flood waters from cutting the creek too deep. And the new sediment will allow riparian vegetation to grow, like willows and cottonwoods. It's just the type of project students from the NATURE program are learning about this summer.
A lot of what we've been doing is actually interacting with some of the leading scientists and conservationists and ranchers, land managers from this region.
That's Alex Fenigworth. She's the lead instructor for the NATURE program. This summer, they have six students from various tribes in the Four Corners region. During the seven-week internship, those students go out in the field with experts to hear about practical conservation solutions, like Adams and his BDAs.
So our goal is basically just to support the next generation of Indigenous leaders in the Four Corners in the fields of natural resource management, science, the environment, conservation, restoration.
Kirsten Begay is one of those students. She's from Arizona and a member of the Navajo Nation.
It's just been a lot of fun, I guess. A lot of learning. So just like being able to learn different things about the earth that we come from.
Begay is studying agricultural sciences. Her highlight of the summer...
So definitely learning about biocrusts, just being able to see what kind of living things are underneath and how they survive in their own way. And definitely don't bust the crust. That's something that we learned. And I feel like now that I know more about it, I definitely won't bust it.
The Dugout Ranch is on the border of Canyonlands National Park. The land has a long history.
So originally, this place was the homelands for the ancient Puebloans.
That's Kristen Redd, who works at the ranch with her husband. Just down the road is Newspaper Rock, one of the largest known collections of petroglyphs. More recently, the land was used by the Ute and Navajo tribes, and then as homesteads for white ranchers. Now it's owned by the Nature Conservancy and the location of their Canyonlands Research Center. It's become a sort of open-air laboratory on the cutting edge of research on desert ecosystems. It's also used to educate and train the next generation of conservationists. And Red wants that to include more Native Americans.
The Nature Conservancy, as a global organization, has a huge initiative to reach out to Indigenous peoples because we believe that they are the original stewards of the land. And for us to work well in conservation, we need their knowledge base.
Red says that today is not only about teaching.
how much we learn from these students is incredible, as well as, you know, hooking them up to go out into the world and do restoration on their homelands or, you know, whatever projects they're interested in.
Amber Renee Archie studies anthropology. She's Navajo.
I think one thing that stood out was meeting a lot of, like, indigenous scientists and researchers.
For example, Archie met a Cherokee scientist from California. And just knowing she exists was powerful.
Just seeing how much opportunities that they got was, like, really inspiring. You know, it's something that I would want to do and something I hope to do. Hopefully, I think one thing that I'm going to get out of this internship is to making new connections or getting ideas or helpful tips from them. It's a really big opportunity for me.
Archie hopes to study more about traditional ecological practices and apply what she learns on and off the reservation. And hopefully, later, she can be the one inspiring future scientists. Justin Higginbottom for KZMU News.
If talking sports on KGNU is wrong, then I don't want to be right. Hello and welcome back to Sports Talk with Jimmy. I am your host, Jimmy Searfoss, with the best sports news and stories from across the Front Range. And today, we have a story about a Front Range native who recently made history. Valor Christian High School alumni Anna Hall claimed her spot on the podium when she finished third place in the Women's Heptathlon and the World Outdoor Championship in Eugene, Oregon on July 18th. It was the first time an American has placed in that event since 2001. See, the heptathlon is a combination of 7 events over the span of 2 days to determine the best female athlete in the world. Each competition is judged off of points based off individual performance. At the end, the competitor with the most points wins the events. These events include the 100-meter hurdles, the high jump, the shot put, the long jump, the javelin, the 200-meter, and the 800-meter. Hall comes from Highlands Ranch, Colorado, and began competing in the heptathlon at Valor Christian High School. This is where her track and field career really took off. She won multiple state titles in various events, but her best work would come in her junior year, where she set a national record for the best high school heptathlon score ever. At the collegiate level, Hall had been crowned the NCAA Women's Heptathlon Champion earlier this year. Now she found herself in Oregon, competing against Olympic champions on an international stage. Hall dominated the running events. She finished first in the 200 meter, first in the 800 meter, and third in hurdles. She set a personal record in javelin and set season highs in the high jump and long jump. Hall finished with multiple personal and season bests by the end of the competition, the most important one being her all-time highest score of any heptathlon she's ever been in, when she finished with a score of 6,755. This breaks the previous collegiate record for a heptathlon, formerly set by Jackie Joyner. For those who don't know, Jackie Joyner is a legend in the heptathlon event. She won the gold medal in it in 1988 and 1992 while representing America in the Olympic Games. And the best part about all of this? Hall is only 21 years old. Hall was the youngest in the field for the whole event. She's still only a sophomore at the University of Florida. She was by far the best female athlete at the collegiate level in 2022. She won 2 NCAA track and field titles, an SEC title, and a U.S. title. This competition will not be the highlight of her career. Anna Hall is just getting started. Big things are still to come for the Valor Christian alum. And that is all the time we have for you today on this week's segment of Sports Talk with Jimmy. Make sure you tune in next week where we have more at this same time.
Welcome to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits.
Ram Strength is the only local nonprofit that provides financial assistance for all types of cancer survivors in Fort Collins in northern Colorado. Executive Director Michelle Boyle.
Anybody who has been diagnosed with any type of cancer and if they're either in active treatment or 6 months post active treatment and live in Larimer and Weld County and is at 5% of the poverty level or below is eligible for Ram Strength assistance through our basic needs program. Most people we help do have insurance. So even with insurance, you're looking at $100 copay every time you go to see a specialist. Our big initiative is basic needs. So we will help patients with mortgage, rent, utilities. Sometimes it's just gas, parking, grocery certificates, We have another program, which is our scholarship program, where if you are a student attending Colorado State University and have been affected by cancer, either personally or a direct family member, and hurts you as far as able to afford college, you're struggling financially to make that happen, we do offer $2,500 tuition assistance scholarships to students at CSU. And we started doing two scholarships a year at $2,500 following these kids until graduation. This year, we're upping up to 13 scholarships. We sponsor local kids who've had cancer or parent has had cancer. There's several local camps. We do provide scholarships for those kids to attend a summer camp. And we usually sponsor about 13 kids a summer.
Tell us about your fundraising events.
We do a golf tournament every year. This year it will be August 8th at Collindale Golf Course. We do a CSU tailgate where you can buy tickets to attend, and all the proceeds go to our scholarship program to help CSU students affected by cancer get all the food and beverage donated. There's a Thanksgiving Day run in Fort Collins every year. He has had us, I think, for the last 8 years, be the beneficiary of that. So we help to get all the volunteers for that race. We're always looking for volunteers for our events. There is a thrift store down in Old Town called Brand Spanking Used, and proceeds from that thrift store come right back to Ram Strength.
For more information, you can go to their website, ramstrength.org. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
You've been listening to .org, KGNU's weekly look at local nonprofits. For more .orgs or for more information on this episode, visit news.kgnu.org. That's all the time we have now for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Alexis Kenyon. Special thanks to Jimmy Serfoss, Chiara DeMari, Steve Miller, and Rosanna Longo-Better. Stay tuned for Connections. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.
Good morning. This is Joel Edelstein. I hope you will stay tuned following the BBC headlines for Connections, our topic this morning, water and climate change. We'll begin by examining the vanishing water in the West. Distribution of the most important source, the Colorado River, is now been giving out more water than is in the river for 100 years because it goes back to a 1922 water agreement. And that's